have to make this quick before I get overheated. Opening a window. No idea how much fun it is being me. So, I believe, I entertain the idea that the Lindbergh kidnapping was a false flag. Why? Look at Operation Northwoods, what they plan to do. Look at 9/11. Look at the alleged COVID rubbish. All fake, not fake, all false flags or fake. The minute I started hearing about Lindbergh and him, I don't know if this is the director suggesting this to me, but when they're asking Hoover who was the most famous man, and then it came out it's Lindbergh. Imagine a totally powerless FBI. At the very least, how much it benefited from the Lindbergh kidnapping. Now, given that cui bono, who benefits? Think about the attraction. Think about how seductive it would be for J. Edgar Hoover to actually kidnap the child, or to arrange a fake kidnapping with Lindbergh himself. Remember, you had all the blackmail documents. Remember, that's how the FBI worked. It's like the Vatican. I think you saw Call of Duty. See, the whole point of the Lindbergh thing and the FBI was to federalize policing. To federalize policing, centralize power of policing, give them more power. And the people who do that is Jewish power. They've been doing that from the very beginning, centralizing power. So the Lindbergh, I'm saying now, I don't know if the people have got conspiracy arguments for this already, but has anyone else suggested the Lindbergh kidnapping was either faked or was actually carried out by J. Edgar Hoover and the FBI? Yeah, or, you know, indirectly or directly. In order to get the passage of the various legislation, which would give the FBI the power it needed. And to make, like you said, like the reason I picked up the phone straight away, he says, we need a federal law. You have to make kidnapping a federal offense. So, yeah, that's just an insight you can pick up even from Hollywood. I don't know if that was intended, if that's being suggested by the director or the scriptwriter, but that seems now almost bulletproof to me that that's likely. Yeah, unless you're a coincidence theorist. The government wrote the Patriot Act before 9/11, and 9/11 was what they used to appeal to people. Fear and hate. Yeah? Fear and hatred. Freud said people need someone to fear. I mean, someone to hate. People need someone to hate. And if you look at the history of cinema and books, people also want something to fear. Fear the Lord thy God. It's one of the attractions. Why do people go to horror movies? Yeah? Clearly people love that stimulation. They want something to fear. Or they wouldn't pay money to be terrified. So fear and hatred, this is how the government always gets power. Whatever it is. Fear of drug dealers and your children becoming drug users. Fear of AIDS. Fear of viruses. Fear of Islamic terrorists. Fear of the Ruskies, you know, in the alleged Cold War. Fear that, you know, like Alex Jones was saying, fear that the Nazis are going to invade North America. You know, that was their plan. So remember, check out the Lindbergh affair, Lindbergh kidnapping. Look at the laws that were put in place directly on its coattails. And how could you better make your bureau popular? What's the best public relations J. Edgar Hoover could have had? Yeah? To look like a big hero, to look like they'd saved the child of the most famous man in America, maybe the most popular man in America, the hero of all Americans with the best brand and name recognition. If you can be the hero who saved the Lindbergh kid, solved it, I don't even know what happened with the Lindbergh. Very rough idea in my head. But if you, and he said, it's like when they put the pictures of missing children on the milk bottles. That was a CIA FBI scam too. They wanted to terrify parents every morning into thinking, somebody might steal my child. How can I stop that? And one way you can stop that is by submitting to mass surveillance, having chips implanted in your children, yeah? Just like your pets, so they can be tracked and they can be protected, and so they won't end up in the milk carton. And this is what J. Edgar Hoover is saying to all the American public at this time. You know, we need to protect Americans from kidnapping, and we need federal laws for that. And we need an FBI that has the power and has the weapons, et cetera, et cetera. And then later the surveillance, you know, the NSA and everything. Was national security was why you had to give up your freedoms and your tax dollars and your freedom and your liberties and your rights and your privacy, national security. Then it was a war on drugs. Yeah, then it was a war on whatever else is the next war on. And then it was the alleged viruses, imaginary viruses, and the emergency measures and lockdowns. And then it was the war in Ukraine, which is the last thing. I tried to watch the long video about the war in Ukraine, which apparently has been going on 2 years now. You know how it begins? With the woman saying, with the loss of so many lives, too many lives to count. And I'm thinking, yeah, because it's not a real war, is it? When they talk about phony war, they used to talk about the phony war when Britain declared war on Germany and did nothing, you know, after Poland. And even people who think in the Second World War in America, they called it a phony war in some movies and things like this, you know, saying it was just a phony war. You know, this is the phoniest war ever. And I don't want to be disrespectful to people who really suffered and really died and everything, because it always happens. People die in car accidents every day. More people have died in Germany in car accidents since the alleged Ukrainian war has begun than have died in alleged battle and conflict in Ukraine. This absurd notion that Putin ever intended occupying Kiev, which Biden can't even pronounce properly, Kiev. You know, how can the American president keep calling the country sending $60 billion to this year alone Kiev? The capital, Kyiv. He can't even get the name of it right. Does he even know where Ukraine is? You know? Does he have any idea? Anyway, so this fake war, it's economic wrecking. It's more fear, more terror, more cortisol, more stress, more obesity, more diabetes, more heart disease. It lowers up your stress hormones. It reverts you from your frontal lobe, from your higher faculties of reason, back to your reptilian brain flight or fight response. Yeah? Your, from what's it called? Probably hippocampus and amygdala or something like that. Okay, I've got to get all these technical terms correct. But this is what it's all about, yeah? And the Lindbergh affair was just one of the earliest ones. Apart from World War One propaganda, you know, and if there were really bombings at that time, alleged communists, I would suggest it was also Jewish power that there may have been some real communists, but more likely the people who wanted to fight the communists set the bombs, just like with Operation Gladio. And the last thing I'm going to say, if they ever make another film, like the people have made great films trying to explain to people to rebut the premises of the official Holocaust narrative and other narratives and rebut the premise that National Socialism was bad and all this kind of stuff. If anyone's ever going to make a film again, they have to understand the principles of mirroring and leading, of pacing and leading. And if they want to understand what I'm talking about, they read my book on neuro-linguistic programming, Entertaining Beliefs, or just simply watch the last film by Michael Moore. Yeah? Because Michael Moore, that film that he makes where he starts in Michigan, Detroit, is a perfect example of mirroring and leading. He tells everybody everything that they can agree with about the state of America, et cetera, et cetera. So he begins with the truth and things which are real, and then he uses that to lead people into total lies. His total controlled opposition, pretending to be exposing 9/11, when all he's doing is absorbing all the resources and energy and all the attention that's out there in the public and misdirecting it somewhere it can do no harm. But he begins that film. That film is a perfect example of mirroring and leading. starting with Detroit, Michigan, and the ruins in America, to get the people's agreeable, to become agreeable to the people, to get their attention, so things that resonate with the people, which are truthful, and then he uses that, that agreeableness, to lead people down the, what's it called, the something path? Down the garden path, yeah? Away from the truth. While pretending to be opposition, you know, and to be exposing and to be a hero of the people. So if ever there's another film going to be made, has to be made along those lines. I could write it. It would take me a long time, and I'd want to have all the best experts with me to make sure everything I write is precise and correct and can be demonstrated, so that nobody can strain on our gnats, yeah, and pick apart the gnats, and this will attract people towards the actual camels, yeah, the elephant in the room, if you like, the invisible pink elephants, but the camels. I'm talking about Jesus in the Gospels. You strain at gnats and swallow camels, if you don't understand what I'm talking about. And everyone should, yeah? Why is it people remember all the stupid things in the Bible, but not the really clever things? They don't remember Obadiah's warning, for as you do unto others, so shall be done unto you. They don't remember Jesus's very wise sayings and warnings. The law brings death, only the living word brings life. Anyway, so yeah, I think the Lindbergh kidnapping is probably a false flag or a fake. In the same way 9/11 was a false flag, COVID was a fake, in the way they provoked hostilities with Mexico, how they sunk their own ship in Cuba, and like Operation Northwoods, which didn't happen at the time of JFK, but which they then did when Bush was elected, yeah? And it's known as 9/11. 9/11 is Operation Northwoods, actually. Yeah, they had the Patriot Act ready to be signed, and they needed to get people to sign it. They had Operation Northwoods already planned years ago, decades before, just waiting to be actioned. It was an actionable plan. JFK said no, but someone else said yes. And so Operation Northwoods became what we call 9/11. And anyway, I've written more about I've got more information about 9/11 and the so-called Holocaust and viruses. And I've got more information about everything that's important. And I've even explained the most popular things like reptilian shape-shifting than anybody else. And for some reason, I'm the least known person with the least resources. So go figure, yeah? If I say something that offends you, get over it, yeah? We don't have time anymore. I have people from 30 years ago coming up to me and saying, look, we're really sorry for how we treated you. You were right, and, you know, we really admire you, and we respect that you were willing to sacrifice to tell us the truth, and it was the truth, and it is the truth, and we thank you now for it. Yeah, I don't have time for that. I'll be dead in 30 years. And all the shit that's going to happen now in between is going to make, doesn't matter what you learn and realize in 20 years. It'll be too late to do anything about it. Except the very spiritual things I talk about and write about. Those things are timeless, and it's never too late. I'm not talking about deathbed conversions. I'm talking about if you really, truly, in your heart, change your will, if you really will differently before you die, then there's a chance you won't have to come back here, but that you'll be able to be integrated into higher level functioning worlds, you know. There's no way if you got a wild bear that had been beaten and abused since birth, so it was totally psychologically twisted and distorted, and full of fear and anger and hate, if you took that wild bear, you couldn't just say, oh, we love you, we're going to release you in the middle of the city. You know, oh, we love you, we're going to take you to a kindergarten where the children can show how much they love you. This bear, this wild bear that's been abused and beaten and treated, mistreated since birth by humans, and is totally, totally fucked up in the worst possible ways. And out of love, you're just going to drop it in the kindergarten to be loved by the children. No, that's not going to work out. And that will be exactly what it would be to take a typical human from this plane and move them to a higher plane. There's no way anybody could trust them. It's not the bear's fault. It's not the human's fault in this sense. Yeah, but there's no way you would release the average human in a community of ascended beings. It'd be just like having that really tormented, crazed wild bear released in the kindergarten. You may have the best intentions, and the kindergarten children would have loved the bear, yeah? And the people in the higher plane would love to help this human, but you can't, it's just not on. You can just imagine how it would go down with the bear in the kindergarten. So anyway, there's always hope right to the end. And then if there's no hope this time, then next time maybe you'll learn your lesson. I don't want to get a migraine. I've tried not to get emotionally invested in the things going on here and in this plane. And I've got to try to remember to focus on the eternal. And I cover everything. The here and now, the eternal. Surely I'm going to learn more. But that's the thing. If I get the resources and the time, I will learn everything there is to learn. And I will share it with everybody. Not in order to profit from it. You know, all these people on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram, they're saying, oh, when we started out, we thought we were a blessing unto the nations, you know. And then suddenly this thing, this monster rears its ugly head and we gave birth to it. Oh, bullshit. If you hadn't been greedy and just been about money, 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 it never would have happened. Because all the abuses of Facebook and everything, it's all about money, yeah. This idea that the only reason a corporation exists is to increase shareholder returns, and the idea that a corporation is a person with human rights. Remember, in America and all around the world, humans no longer have human rights, only corporations do. This is a fact. Check your legal code. Yeah, have a look what the rights of a corporation are. Have a look at when corporations gained the status of a person. Only fairly recently. So the irony is now corporations, which are not people, are the only thing that have human rights, whereas humans don't have human rights because all that happens to happen is a pandemic has to be declared. Whatever that means was never said in the United Nations Declaration of Human Rights. Doesn't say who needs to declare a pandemic and how, on what basis. It just says if a pandemic is declared, like Britain. The announcement in Britain, as of 6 a.m. this morning, Great Britain finds itself at war with Germany. What sort of fucking statement is that? You know, the guy in Germany was trying to get people to use words that took personal responsibility. Not to be vague in general, but to say, I think. You know, not some people think, but I think, etc. He's the same guy who mobbed and victimized me and got me kicked out of a course, which with huge ramifications for me, and slandered me, my name. You know, I laughed and I asked if someone used the word upfuckum, and I wanted to be sure in my usage of it. So if I said ich möchte dieses Gebäude upfuckum, that would be correct. Let's say, yeah, that would be correct. Later I have a judge in a pretrial hearing have someone saying, accusing me of, that the reason they kicked me out of the course they claim is because I threatened to burn down the building. It's just absurdity upon absurdity. Anyway, video's too long and I'm getting sick. So hopefully I get to upload this and you get to see it. You know, can you imagine all the work I put into 2,000 videos and most of them get like 20 views if you're lucky? You know, and I don't, clicks that is, I don't know how many views. And then almost every comment I get is just stupid, put on a shirt, faggot, telling me I'm Jewish. If I was, so what, but I'm not. That I'm wearing makeup. Whatever, you know. It's really hopeless. It really is. So lucky I'm not so emotionally invested in this world. And then I've got plans for an escape from it, yeah. And I've gone further than Schopenhauer. I was just thinking, Schopenhauer really wasn't a Buddhist. He thinks he was, but he wasn't. he's got a bit of a twisted idea about what Buddhism is. Remember, there's a religion called Buddhism, which is just adapted all the typical religious beliefs, heavens and hells and rewards and punishments and, you know, magical powers and even special entitlements. But real Buddhism was about ethics and about a rejection of this world as it is, with the highest ethics at the same time. Not like the worshippers of Kali, the thugs, and some of the Talmudic Jews who believe they're going to make the world as evil as possible to speed up the coming of the Messiah. Yeah. Now, Buddhism was saying, yeah, this is why you shouldn't emotionally invest in this world. And in some cases, it seems to be total rejection of life, like Schopenhauer. But the actual behaviors required of a Buddhist were all of the highest ethics. Yeah. Some of the things Jesus touched on, you know, and the Old Testament prophets did too. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Do as to others as you wish they to do unto you. For as you do unto others, so shall be done unto you. You know, forgiveness, etc., etc. And even Paul says it's better not to eat meat, if my memory is correct. Paul says it's better to be vegetarian. So, you know, but all that good stuff in the Bible, mostly overlooked, apart from a few Seventh-day Adventists who are actually vegan. But most of them will say, no, we'll go vegan. We'll be vegan when the Messiah comes. Yeah, and I say, well, why can't you be vegan now? And they go, oh, no, we'll be vegan when the Messiah comes. I say, okay, well, if it's a good thing for when the Messiah comes, why is it a bad thing now? You know, and they go, no, we'll be vegan when the Messiah comes. You know, it's all when the Messiah comes, you know. Really good. But some Seventh-day Adventists are really vegan, and they say, yeah, of course it makes sense. I mean, the kingdom of heaven is within you. Look inside, people. Look inside at what's inside you. Is there a kingdom of heaven? You know, if your actions are going to be, like Kant says, a role model for every other person and every other being, why is it you're complaining, like in the Avatar film, they're murdering a fish. The fish is more beautiful than them, even in the film. Yeah, the fish is happy to be living alive. Has every right to live than the blue Avatarians, whatever they are. But the whole film is about the tragedy of how these blue beings have their planet overrun by someone else. You know, when all that's happening, you might as well call that film Obadiah. For as you do unto others, for as you will unto others, as you think about others, so shall be thought about you. And you think you have dominion because you're the smartest person, smartest being on this planet. Well, you're wrong, because the Cult of Judah elites, they are the smartest people here, and they have the most power over you. Yeah? In Avatar, they're aliens from another planet, you know, whatever. But, now I'm rambling, but if you follow my work, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about now. It's a total hypocrisy. Everyone complains when they're the victim. And when they're the perpetrator, they just completely overlook it. They think they have an exceptional exclusive entitlement to be perpetrators and not victims. Yeah? Anyway, okay, ciao for now. Yeah, no, I don't know. I haven't seen the actual facts, but if it's true that Jay Gehoover actually publicly stated that there is no organized crime problem in America, or that there's no organized crime at the time of JFK, or his brother being Attorney General, if it's true that J. Edgar Hoover, the head of the FBI, tried to convince the public that there was no organized crime in America, he made a public statement to that effect, that's really odd and really suspicious. That's something that doesn't come down to conjecture. If he actually said that, there'd be a record of that. And if he actually said that, that would be the most condemning thing to suggest that J. Edgar Hoover was part of a huge, criminal conspiracy. And one question I have is whether his secretary, may have been the woman behind the man. You know, how much influence did she really have, and how Jewish was she? Yeah, because this idea of pushing the communist threat is one of the biggest bogeymen. You know, before the war on terror and the war on drugs and the war on COVID, the biggest bogeyman was the communist threat. which, you know, like I keep saying, trying to remind people, just suddenly emerged after the end of World War II. Yeah? Like, it wasn't obvious from the very beginning that... And why was America fighting to make the world safe for international communism? Why was America fighting to allow Russia and, you know, supplying it with trucks and everything? And really, if you read my book, they actually gave them the nuclear bomb. But yeah, anyway, okay, ciao for now. It's a tragedy that we're talking about tragedies. That somebody murdered the child of the Lindberghs. Or maybe that child died, we don't know. But what I'm trying to highlight is the fact that it's a real perfect scenario for, and it's a model. It's the same. There's a model. There's a reason for stereotypes sometimes. Yeah. Some stereotypes don't come from nowhere. And people now, because of the laws, you know, to protect Jewish power, they want to say the stereotype about Jewish power is totally unfounded. You know, Rothschild doesn't have hundreds of trillions of dollars, you know, for example. So really, people, when you use language, please start being really precise. Don't talk about Jews. Talk about particular Jewish power, yeah? Talk about decisive Jewish power and explain to people. You don't need to have majority power. The silly fools out in the street think, well, there's only 30 million Jews. How can they rule the world, you know? You got to make it clear to them. Centralization of power in very few hands. And if you control those hands, if you're the puppet master of the hands within which the centralized power has been centralized, that's all you need. And to rule the rest of the world, a divided world, you don't need anything like even a majority or major minority shareholding in any situation, not just talking about corporations, but in decision making. Decisions are made not based on the numbers. It's based on decisive power and influence. Okay, anyway, ciao for now. Called the Lindbergh Laws. Just by coincidence, they got more federal power. They took power from the states and gave it to a centralized federal authority based on the alleged kidnapping of the Lindbergh son, baby. And it's called the Lindbergh Law. Yeah, what did they call the law they'd written before the CIA and Mossad blew up the World Trade Center buildings and some other buildings? They called it the Patriot Act. And I was just thinking, what was the other one very recently that I commented on? Yeah, from the film, with the nuclear bomb, the A-bomb. There's noise outside. Distraction. Anyway, you'll notice a clip in videos of previous mine about the A-bomb, and you'll see the person making the reference, a very clear reference, to that this is a push for more federal power. It was the nuclear non-proliferation treaty, what's the guy's name? The Jewish guy who they associate with the Manhattan Project. Too many things at once, sorry. But anyway, in the movie itself, they even state, yes, someone states, the guy they try to make look foolish in the movie, the guy played by Iron Man, the guy who plays Iron Man, that character, that person says, this is a push for more federal power, yeah? And so this is what all these things are. Every time you see a crisis actor on TV or in a CIA, or every time you see a Hollywood movie made by the CIA and the Jewish powered elites in Hollywood, every time you see a film, you'll if you pay attention, you'll notice every big thing that ever happened, which they made a big deal of, ended up with the federal government getting more power. It led to the introduction of more federal powers, introduction of legislation which gave the federal government in America more and more power. And then, of course, with viruses, they've actually taken the power away even from the federal government and given it to a private organization, the name of which I can't remember. But recently, almost every government around the world delegated its or gave up its sovereignty to some non-government organization that is now empowered to declare pandemics next time. And of course, therefore, declare you have no human rights. So everything is about centralization of power in the hands of fewer and fewer people. And this is how it doesn't mean you don't need Jewish power doesn't have to be absolute or even majority. It just has to be decisive. Yeah, the same as control of corporations. You don't need to control even the majority of the shares. You don't even need to control even a big minority of the shares to have decisive control. You just need to have enough power to have control. And most people can never understand how very small minorities can actually ultimately have decisive control and power and therefore make the decisions in the end. Yeah, divide and conquer is the start of it. If everybody else, if you have a minority of power and everybody else is atomized and fractured and fighting each other, then your small minority still technically represents a majority compared to every other individual actor that you're competing with. You have more power than every other individual actor. All the other individual actors are divided. They're fighting at each other's throats. Yeah? This is the old Roman idea, divide and conquer. And it's why I use the word decisive Jewish power. You have to become more sophisticated, more precise with your language, not just to make it harder for them to abuse the legal system, to charge you with things that aren't even crimes, but to win in the court of public opinion, to avoid the sleight of mouth by which the public is totally misled and is totally baffled and confused and obfuscated, has a totally misleading impression of reality. Precision in language and operating at the lowest level of abstraction, I explain everything. I don't know how I managed to get to this point, but I guess there's a limit to every human. But unless a person spends all their time on this, of all their adult life, and it's very rare that someone finds themselves in that situation. Plato called it Teague's bridle. Anyway, read my books, watch my videos. Point of this video was, have a look at every big time the federal government gained more power. And have a look at the background behind that. How did the government grab more power, federal government grab more power? How did these NGOs like World Health Organization and United Nations and whatever the other ones called that now gets to declare pandemics, how did they get their power? What was the background? Every time power is centralized in fewer and fewer hands and more power is given to fewer and fewer people, something happened before it that made it some narrative, some false flag, some fake event was there at just the right time to motivate the people to submit to this change, to pass these laws, to vote for these laws, or to just passively acquiesce to the laws. Yeah, and this is just one more example, the Lindbergh laws. So was Charles Lindbergh, the famous aviator, the most famous man at that time in the 20th century in America, with the greatest brand recognition, did the FBI itself kidnap the child or arrange the kidnapping? Was there any real kidnapping at all? I think, sadly, if I remember correctly, the child is found dead in the end. So we don't know the full story behind that. Could be faked, could have been a false flag. In other words, FBI carried out the operation itself, just like they did 9/11, CIA and Mossad. Anyway, okay, ciao for now. Yeah, so sadly, the Lindbergh baby was found within a few hundred meters of the house. So that raises questions. I'm sure people at the time probably wondered whether maybe the child had been murdered by its own parents for some reason. Yeah, or just the fact that they found the child there means there was no kidnapping. And the whole story of a kidnapping demands and the kidnapping letters and Al Capone offering to give them the money to pay the kidnappers. So the involvement of organized crime and the FBI in the alleged kidnapping of the most famous man in America, probably the most popular, one of the most popular men in America with name recognition, all just happens to end up on the name of a legislation, a bill that gave power to the FBI and the federal government. You don't think that's at all... This might seem like a contradiction in what I was saying before, but it's not. It's only a contradiction if you believe the FBI actually works for the American people. I think it's very telling that once the FBI started getting power, there was a change. First, they were glorifying the criminals, and they've continued doing that. They've never stopped glorifying the criminals. But here's the point. They started glorifying the FBI. Now, James Cagney was the first one, G-Men, the film. And I'm thinking more modern times of The Untouchables, where they're glorifying the FBI. And there's probably a lot of films about 9/11 that glorify the FBI. I don't know, because I've never seen them. But here's the point. One minute they're glorifying just... It's consistent. The FBI are the criminals also. Yeah, this is my point. Hollywood didn't just start making films about the G-Men because the G-Men were fighting crime. They wanted to glorify the G-Men and the FBI. Yeah. So you might say this is a bit of a stretch, speculation, whatever, but it's perfectly consistent. Have a look at the treatment of criminals by Hollywood. Have a look at the treatment of the greatest man in history by Hollywood. I'm talking about Adolf Hitler. It's a crime to say that in Germany. Why? Isn't that a political opinion? I'm not allowed to have that political opinion. I'm going to be persecuted for that political opinion. It's as political as it gets. National Socialism was a political organization, which is not represented under allegedly representative democracy. Why is that? Yeah? You can be a communist party in Germany, if I'm not mistaken. But you can't be National Socialist. Isn't that political persecution? Anyway. So, yeah. Don't be fooled. You know, it's totally consistent that Hollywood glorifies criminals. And so when it glorifies the CIA... And remember, the thing that stunned me is that they finally did make a film... more or less, with Tom Cruise, the hero. You can't take Tom Cruise out of the Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise in the CIA movie is still a hero. Yeah, they're glorifying the CIA's drug dealing and criminal activities. So they glorify the CIA using Tom Cruise. They made that stupid film trying to demonize... The historian who was put in prison, I'm trying to think of his name. But anyway, they got a really ugly, they got a character. See, they got Tom Cruise, who always plays the handsome hero that everyone loves, to play the bad guy in the CIA criminal film. I'm trying to think of the name. And when it came to getting someone to play the historical revisionist, I wish I could remember his name, who was actually very good looking, they chose someone who always plays a scumbag in every film, just by accident. It's the one with, and the woman, the Jewish woman, who writes all that rubbish, Holocaust rubbish, and ADL stuff. I wish I could remember her name. In real life, she's not very attractive at all and personable. But they get a very beautiful woman to play her. I think it was even... you can't expect me to remember everything. But anyway, when the FBI is presented by Hollywood and glorified, it's because they're a criminal organization. The same with the CIA. when they finally make a film and admit the fact, some of the facts about the CIA's crimes, who do they get to play the lead? Somebody who all the whole world is sympathetic with, who always plays the hero, the charming, good-looking, if you know, hero, plays the bad guy in the CIA film, the film that exposes the CIA's drug dealings. What everyone kept telling us, are you talking rubbish when we said the CIA was dealing drugs and guns and breaking the law and committing crimes? They all said, you're just crazy. Then Hollywood makes a film about it. And they say, well, see, Hollywood's not biased. It's making a film about it. Well, it only exposes very few things about it. The things that's okay to expose. Nothing about Clinton and the murders of those children, for example. And who does it get to play the character? Not someone that people feel loathsome and despicable, but Tom Cruise. So anyway, what's the name of the historical revisionist put in prison? He wrote the books about Dresden. He drove around in a huge Rolls Royce sort of car around Europe. They put him in prison. Yeah. And afterwards, some rich people gave him a big house to live in a big car. Anyway, but they made that film with a despicable woman who does all the alleged Holocaust propaganda. Alleged Holocaust, not alleged propaganda. Yeah, and they got, I think, Natalie Portman to play her. Is that right? And they got some guy who plays a lousy scumbag, loathsome character in every other film to play really ugly, sorry, not being personal, but ugly and repulsive. They got him to play a person who in real life was very attractive and articulate and elegant, you know, and good looking, especially when he was young. So anyway, that's Hollywood for you. Okay, ciao for now. So the patsy in the crime just happened to be a German. And they just happened to demand an immediate death sentence so that there could be no possibility of an appeal and real investigation and to give the public closure. The Lindenberg alleged murderer just happened to be a German man, and they killed him immediately after the trial almost, to avoid any investigation and to give the public closure. Does this sound familiar? Lee Harvey Oswald? Yeah? Okay. Ciao for now.